Take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to begin reading verse 8. Then we're going to switch over to the New Testament. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Let's say that together. Are you ready? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You may be seated. Boy, we struggle with that one, don't we? We think God ought to think the way we think, and we think God ought to work the way we want him to work. And that presents a big challenge, and we get what we call an attitude. How many of you know what an attitude is? How many of you want to point out some attitudes? No, don't. Boy, when you meet someone who's having an attitude kind of day, it makes you want to run the other way, doesn't it? And, you know, the one thing about attitude is we often forget attitude equates very quickly to action. And when you're talking about God using us, our attitude actually triggers the actions that allow us to be used or keep us from being used. So we're going to look at that, and I want you to turn over in the New Testament to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at a story you should be familiar with. And in this story, you're going to find the key principles of what we're talking about here. How can I have a right attitude so that I'm ready for God to use me? In Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, he says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Verse 6 says, "And they were both righteous before God." Now watch this. They were righteous before God. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And then look at that last word in verse 6. Don't you pray and wish and hope that God can say about you, they were blameless. I mean, these were devout, faithful people. But verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. Now, when you see that phrase, well advanced in years, what does that mean? They were old. All right, skip to verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, now he just got a whammy, all right? He was old, and there were no children. And God says, you're not only going to get a child, but you're going to get a son. And this son is going to be some kind of dude. He's going to take your faithfulness to a whole new level. And in that, he's going to draw people to Jehovah God. So you would think, you know, Zacharias, man, can you imagine the shock? He says in verse 18, how shall I know this? He questions. For I am an old man. He's a smart man because look how he worded the next phrase. And my wife is well advanced in years. He said, I'm old, she's just well advanced. Y'all never caught that, had you? Verse 20 says, but behold, the angel says, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, we know Zacharias was a godly man. And we know Elizabeth was a godly woman. And we know that angels don't lie. Right? 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 A little angelology. Angels cannot lie. Okay? Only those that got kicked out of heaven, the demons, they lie. But angels don't lie. So here's a righteous man, married to a righteous woman, living faithfully, an angel who cannot tell a lie, reveals the will of God, and the first thing the righteous man does is what? Doubt. In other words, he's already got an attitude. His attitude is, well, why didn't we get a child? Now, just because you're righteous, just because you're godly, doesn't mean you won't have bad days, okay? Everybody has bad days, right? Well, he had a bad attitude because he really wanted a child. And then his prayer gets answered, and he's praying for something that at an old age you normally wouldn't pray for. And, oh my goodness, my prayer's going to get answered. Nah, can't be. The attitude was about to cause him to miss God. So look at number one, fill in the blank. As you pray to be used by God, you got to know this. Number one, a humble heart's going to be required. It's not about us. It's all about God. And God chooses to work. God chooses to do. And you and I, regardless of how faithfully we walk, you and I can never get to a point that we think spiritually we've become something. Because I promise you, when that happens, you're going to get knocked down. Here is Zacharias all of a sudden revealing that even in his faithful walk, there was that struggle to truly believe God. Why? Because he thought, okay, this doesn't make sense. I'm too old. Elizabeth's too old. It's not going to happen. What happened to his humility? Humility can come and go quickly. You and I can be humble when we realize we're standing before God and he loves us, but then you and I can get very prideful because we think, well, look what I'm doing. God says, wait a minute, you never become perfect until you get to heaven. Now, one of the problems we have in American Christianity, talking about this country, talking about this state, this county, this city, one of the problems we have is there's a bunch of prideful, arrogant Christians. The holier-than-thou crowd who think they know it all. That's not found in God's Word, whether you're looking in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Those who walk with God are to be humble. That's why Isaiah, we had that first verse in chapter 55, verse 8, that said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. You can't figure God out. Just when you think you nail him down, he does something crazy. It's really not crazy, though, is it? You see, he's God. Stay humble. A humble heart will be required. Look at number two. God will work on his own time. You ever known somebody that just sort of moseyed along? Going to be late to their own funeral? You know, never got in a hurry. Just did their thing. In a good way, that's God. Now, we get antsy. And here Zacharias is saying, man, we're past the time. I sure would have loved to have a child. I sure would have loved to have a son. But we're past the time. God says, hang on, I got this. Zacharias says, I'm too old. Now, can you imagine being that old and having to deal with a toddler? Lord have mercy. Good thing he prayed for a boy, amen? Some of you got it. God's going to work on his time. You think, you and I go through life and we think there are certain seasons or certain times, and we limit God. And because we put a limit on God, we don't see how God's really going to work. And so we miss out. Or how's this? We know, okay, God wants us to do something. All right, we're going to do it. Well, wait a minute. Didn't happen on time. Oh, well, it must not be God's will. And so we bail out because he didn't look at our clock. Oh, yeah, it's time. Now, listen, I'm preaching to myself. This is the hardest principle in the world to grasp. But it is a vital principle if you really want God to work through your life and to do those things that are totally God-like things that just fulfill the life that God gave you. You got to wait on God's time. And that may mean you give birth when you're up around your 80s or 90s. Is it possible? With God, all things are possible. You see, the reason these examples are given, you say, well, you know, nobody has a child past. Well, I was reading an article last night, said 42 and pregnant and normal. The title caught my attention, 42 pregnant and normal. You know, most people stop having children somewhere around 40. You don't hear of anybody at 50 having children. 60, 70, that's nuts. 80, ain't no way. Why do we have this story in the Bible? Well, here's why. Now, don't miss this. If God can give a couple a child at an advanced age, think of all that has to take place in giving birth and raising a child. Think about that. If God can do that at an advanced age, don't you think he can take care of our little bitty troubles here on earth? You see why the story's there? It's not a made-up story. It's a true story. God works on his time. And if God decides he wants to give you a child at 80, he'll give you a child at 80. If God decides that he wants to work through your life, as long as you stay faithful and you don't bail out, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. God's going to do it. But part of the problem is he has to get us in a position so that he can use us. But you got to remember, it's his time. People say, well, man, you know, you got to hurry up and get married by a certain age. You got to do this. I read another article. I've been reading too many articles. I need therapy. Read another article the other day, said one of the most common trends of all time right now is people graduating college and moving back home. And it said people are waiting to get married, waiting to have children. Now, here's the scary part. The number of average births per couple in America for several years has been just under 3. 2 point something. Now it's under 2. You know why that's important? Because you see, we put all this other stuff in front of God, and then we set up our schedule. Okay, well, I'm gonna get married at such and such when I can truly provide and truly take care of, and then we'll have a child, and then we'll get the child through college, and then we'll retire, and then we'll die. You know, it never works out that way. But what happens is we miss God all the way through because he's working on a different timetable. Now, this is side. This is free extra. Children, listen to me. Parents, listen to me. Children, I got something for you in a minute too. But parents, listen to me. Don't you ever think your children are a bother or a cumbersome task. They're God's gift to you, and they're there to remind you you need God. The problem with too many parents today is children are just another task in a busy life. Maybe we need to slow down. Now, children, what does that mean? Understand you're a blessing. Live like a blessing. Or your parents will bless you, I promise you. Work on, that's free. Work on God's time, not your time. Number 3, God will work according to his way. He's not going to do it the way you want it done, because the way you and I want it done isn't always the best deal. God's ways are not our ways. He's bigger and he's better and he knows more. In fact, write it down. God knows everything, right? He's all knowing. So when he works perfect. Now, what does that mean? Well, you and I say, well, that's not the way I want it done. Who cares? Well, I want to do it my way. No, you don't. Well, my way's good. No, no, no. See, here's what we do. Instead of saying, God, what is it you want me to do? We do things and say, well, God, I hope you'll bless that because it was a good thing and I know you'll like it. As if he needed us to create a good thing. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are supposed to be what he's thinking. Give him time, but then understand he's going to work according to his way. He's going to work according to what's best for you. But get this, he's always working for what's best for those around you. We think it's all about us. It's not. God works through us to reach others. Look at number four. God does big N-O-T. What is that? God does not need our help. He needs our willingness. And there's a big difference. See, Zacharias, he thought it was blown and over with. And then he was telling God, he was reminding God, now look, don't forget my age. Don't forget my wife's age. No way. The angel is like, we got this. But, and so the angel says, okay, we'll fix that. You can't talk until the baby's born. Hello. Can you imagine what Zacharias would have gone around saying? When she got morning sickness, and she's saying she's pregnant, and she's telling her friends, they didn't have Facebook back then, so they had to actually talk to people. Just a thought. And she's telling people, oh, I'm sick, I'm not feeling good. You know what? It's been happening the same time every morning. Zacharias brings home some dead animal to cook, and I get sick. And they're going, no, you're not pregnant. Zacharias, you think she's pregnant? No. No way. All of the doubt. He was in meeting with God. Everybody else left. He stayed. The angel tells him what's going to happen. But then because he doubts, he can't talk. Shut down. Until the birth. Why? Because God didn't need Zacharias' help. He just wanted him to be willing to trust and let God do so God could get all the glory. You see, there could have been the other side of the story. His wife says, I think I'm pregnant. And as an old man, he starts running all over the countryside. Check me out, baby. She's pregnant. I'm a stud. God knew, I don't need your help, Zacharias. I need you to be willing. Willing to let me work through you, God was saying. Now, here's the reality. He told him, hey, you're not going to talk anymore. Verse 21 says, and the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them, but he remained speechless. Their perception was what God was concerned about. God didn't want Zacharias coming out down with an attitude or coming out prideful, look at me. Instead, he came out and their thought is, uh-oh, he's gotten a vision from God. Something awesome's about to happen. And look at the last verse. And so it was. As soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house, quiet. Everybody waiting. What was it that God said was going to happen? God doesn't need your help. But look at number five. God works according to His reasons, not ours. His reason was He needed to show the people that He was God. He needed to give them something that they could latch on to that would help them understand just who He was, what He was about. Zacharias, Elizabeth, they were chosen. The man coming on the scene, the child to be born, the son, was John. What would John eventually do? Baptize Jesus. Now, you want to talk about faithful? It was one thing for his parents to be faithful, but then for him to live faithful enough to have the honor to baptize Jesus, that says something. But you see, it all began with Zacharias having to deal with his attitude. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment.